You're listening to the Sermons Podcast from Riverside Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Wichita, Kansas. This is the sermon from September 12, 2021 on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, and Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 20. The lector is Janine Alexander. The preacher is the Reverend Arthur Stewart.
Is from Matthew 7, 13 through 20. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling to the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
So Olivia's sermon last week, she talked about dirt and soil and the amount of time it takes fruit trees to mature, to bloom, to blossom, to become productive. And she talked about the difference between dirt and soil. The definition in my family that I liked, I learned it from Brian, is that dirt is misplaced soil. Is that correct? Dirt is soil out of place. I like that even better. And so as we spend time this month considering what it is to practice stewardship in this church, and oftentimes, of course, people worry that it becomes an emphasis simply on money and giving, and that's part of it, yes. But stewardship becomes, too, a question of what are we planting now and cultivating now and investing time and resource and making sure soil stays in place in order to see fruits born years from now, perhaps. And I think there's three simple points this morning. I think this will be short. Ken, hold me to it. All right, yeah. Get that big shepherd's crook we have to just, you know. I think the simple point, first and foremost, is this. Discipleship is a minority position in our world. We can never be a Christian nation. We can never be a Christian understanding or form of government or society or work, because discipleship has to be on the narrow road that leads to life. And unfortunately, every road we have needs expansion, it seems, in this world. There's a joke somewhere, if Lori Kuntz were in here, I'm sure she could tell me it better. She and I send each other memes through the week, and that's the best relationship with an elder's chair ever. But yes, there's a highway to hell and a stairway to heaven, and as someone who hates stairs, well, The gate is narrow, the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And that is because, perhaps, when Jesus calls us to take up his cross and follow him, that cross has to change, as so does our circumstance. Let us pretend for a moment that it is the work of this church that we have found a way to address the physical needs of everyone in the Riverside neighborhood. Just imagine with me for a moment that somehow this church has come together and discovered through sacrificial giving, through the intentional work of ministry, through lobbying and through fundraising and through building and through naming and through meeting, we have found a way that says, if you are a resident of the Riverside neighborhood, heck, if you walk into the Riverside neighborhood, we will make sure that you are fed, clothed, understood, and we will seek to care for your needs, and we're able to do it. What will happen to this? Because it is the way we do. And I don't just mean Riverside Christian Church. I mean human people who are becoming. Is we will systemize it, and we will begin to find a way to ultimately say who can be in and who can be out. Because we will see that there is limit. Discipleship calls on us each and every day to die to the standards that we build for ourselves that allow us an easier road to say, this is the boundary I will hold and go no further. And each and every day it's to knock it down. This is not saying we should become doormats for people. This is not to say that unhealthy boundaries with individuals or families or communities should be tossed out. But the reminder that the narrow road always calls on us to check to see where we have let the road get a little bit wide or easy. And when we say that the status quo is God's will, we have stopped using our theological imaginations. We have stopped letting grace fuel our capacity to relate with people. We have decided instead to take an easier, softer way. I do it, we all do it. This is perhaps a clarion call for each of us and all of us. Because what we are called to do instead is to plant and to tend and to grow. And one of my favorite things in Scripture is that how things grow is just a mystery. And I know that there are scientists, and thank God for scientists, who could easily say this is how fruit happens and how plants happen. And it's just like airplanes. I don't know how airplanes work, and I don't want to know how airplanes work. I think that makes me a Luddite, and I apologize, but there has to be some magic in it. And if I know a little bit about how airplanes work, I'm going to think somehow that I am a pilot. And I don't need to think I am a pilot. I'm not. I'm a preacher. That's fine. We have our work to do. But the joy of knowing how plants grow, or at least understanding there is a mystery to it, is that what we are planting today, we have to then tend each and every day and look for buds and look for leaves and consider the soil and look at the weather and see how things are developing and make changes as we do. Something Olivia said last week, she alluded to it perhaps, but if it was not overtly named, I can name it here, is that to properly found, that is, lay the foundation of, and to create space for, and to build up room for a children's ministry in a church, it takes 5 years of funding, of volunteering, of work, of practice, to be able to see a rhythm develop where volunteers are consistently trained, where parents are purposefully informed, and where children understand ritual and benchmarks and milestones. 5 years. The same can be said with youth ministry. Now, this may all change because of COVID and TikTok. I don't know. I don't even know what TikTok is. I assume it has to do with planes. But we will know by our fruit. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, gentleness, kindness, mercy, oranges. Again, I'm a very bad minister. I don't know that by heart. But we do know what the fruit of the Spirit are because we see them when they are at work in our lives and how we interact with and for one another and our communities, which brings us to the second point. The fruit inform our works, the fruit are not our works, or our works are not the fruit. There's a lot to be said about faith with works or faith without works, and the opposite of faith with works is works without faith. I don't think I need to get into this today. That may be a rabbit trail, except to say as such, if you believe in what God has done in Jesus Christ, if the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has somehow indelibly begun the work of transformation in you, that belief, that trust will spur you to do things that you otherwise would not do. It may, however, encourage you. I will never forget when I was told by a person on the streets in Fort Worth, because we used to go fight with the street preachers when I was in divinity school, and I have repented of that, but I was told that I would have to be in hell because God loves me enough to not, what is it? I have to be perfect so that God would love me enough. And I said, do I get any say if I love that God? What our fruits instead do is they make us see that what is being born in us is not just ours. What is being done through us and with us does not belong only to us. And I will tell you a way to identify false prophets right here and there. And I always worry about calling people false prophets. But if they have all of the answers and they can tell you if you are in or out, false prophet. If they can say, I have spoken to God and God has clearly told me this, and if God has said anything other than, it's none of your business, mortal, it is not God speaking to them. Instead, we have to trust and listen and seek and find and fail and get up. And the third thing, and this is a setup for next week, is this: love is not a fruit of the Spirit. Love is the work of God. Everything else is a fruit that is born through love. And I tried to create a metaphor about pies because I love pies and there are fruit pies and I couldn't do it. So I will say this now. I'll work on it for next week. But love is it. Because you can have kindness without love. It's the phrase, bless your heart. And you can have joy without love, but it's really Schadenfreude. And you can have long suffering and patience without love, but it's imposition. And that perhaps is our trick, our test, our way of seeing if this is what God is doing. Does it love yourself, your neighbor, or God? But don't fall into the trick of God loves us to be complacent. Or God loves the way things are. See, there's this risk, right? I will say unequivocally, without exception, you are loved how you are by God. And nothing you do, and nothing you don't do, and nothing you feel, and nothing you don't feel, and nothing you think, and nothing you do not think changes that. If God had a fridge, your picture would be on it. You're set. Congratulations. And we are being transformed into the image of God made known in Jesus Christ when we see God at work in us. It had to be 11 years ago now. I was invited to keynote a very small gathering of high school youth in the panhandle of Texas at Cedar Glen Conference Center. And if you don't know the panhandle of Texas, you should. It's very similar to Kansas. And it's, you know, what's the joke about Lubbock? It's the only place on earth you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. And driving up to this camp, my map is telling me I'm a mile away and there is nothing but a windmill. And I thought, well, this is how I get murdered. And then suddenly the road went down into the Cedar Canyon or the Palo Duro Canyon. And it was this beautiful space. And these youth had chosen the 2 Corinthians passage we heard about transformation and being ambassadors for Christ. And their theme for the weekend was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I both love and hate youth ministry. Because if you're unfamiliar with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you were not blessed as I was in the late 80s. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are turtles that were exposed to radioactive ooze, and they became teenaged and mutants and ninjas. There was a rat who trained them. It's really weird to talk about, but it's a pretty great show. And what we talked about with transformation was in the late 80s and early 90s, in order to sell more toys to children like Arthur Stewart, what they did was they kept introducing new versions of the turtles. So it became the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as classic movie monsters, or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as samurais, or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as Transformers, which I thought was really weird. And eventually the bubble burst. And I think it's because they stopped thinking, isn't it cool that these are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? There's four things to work with. And so the fruit that you bear doesn't have to be something spectacularly different from who you are. And what God is calling us, each and every one of us, to do is not to suddenly become something we're not, to change utterly and to become elsewise. I think that's where false prophets come into it. Let wolves be wolves, and we know to stay away. It's when wolves put on sheep's clothing, perhaps with the best of intentions, that things go south. And so that the fruit we bear is the fruit that we are born to bear. That is to say, if you're a grape bush, vine? I'm obviously not a grape bush. If you're a grapevine, bear grapes. If you are an orange tree, bear oranges. If you're a durian tree, spiritually, I'm sorry. The durian is a horrible smelling fruit. Maybe I am a durian. I don't know. The point, though, is this. We don't get to choose how we are transformed. We are not active agents in it. We can certainly engage with God's purposes, and we should. We can certainly ask ourselves, is this the gospel? My favorite question to ask is always, who is scandalized right now by what we're doing? I will compliment you, Riverside Christian Church, every chance I get, and I do so often. If the collective ears of the church are burning, it is because I brag on this congregation far too much. Here's what I love. Olivia and I and the outreach committee talked about what can we do to collect for people who are in need. And what came out of it was homeless women need help with feminine hygiene products. And we announced it. And there are people shipping things in anonymously. And there are people bringing stuff in. And I can just see this chancel overflowing with what we have come together to do. And it's not anything taboo. Or rather, it is taboo and should not be. And those who are scandalized may hopefully step back and say, why am I scandalized? And hopefully see God at work in this. The transformation that is at work in us is not ours to control, but it is certainly ours to join into. That is the third and the final point. What happens is that sometimes it is predictable and sometimes it is not. Sometimes it is immediate and sometimes it is slow going. Sometimes we simply have to look down at the road that we are in. If it is too easy, let us make it harder. If it is too hard, let us trust in Christ's mercy. And in all things, let us bear fruit together for the reign of God. Amen. You've been listening to another sermon from Riverside Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, visit us on the web at riversidedisciples.org. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.